Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome to another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm Neil McCready, your host today. Today on the show, really good show. Chris Dortch will join. We'll talk a lot of college basketball. He has an amazing story. He was in Oxford Sunday night for Ole Miss's win over Chattanooga. Chris is based in Chattanooga, but that's not really the reason he was there. We'll talk about Ole Miss basketball. We'll talk SEC basketball, and he'll tell you an amazing story that's going to make you feel good, and maybe even, if you're like me, sort of make you sort of rethink the way that maybe you look at things, your outlook, the positivity, negativity stuff, which is sometimes hard for people to control, hand raised. But it's an amazing story. You'll want to hear it. It has a happy ending, and most stories that develop the way that his did do not have happy endings. His did. He'll tell you about it. So we'll talk about a number of things basketball related. He was spent Wednesday morning, Monday morning. This week is already crazy for me. Monday morning with Kermit Davis. So has a lot of thoughts about the Ole Miss program, what Kermit Davis is doing with the Rebels. What is the upside for this Ole Miss team, the league, all sorts of stuff. So a lot of college basketball with Chris Dortch of College Basketball Blue Ribbon Yearbook. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal. It's home of the Maple Bourbon Shake. So run to the Oxford Crystal right next to the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. A perfect treat here during the holiday season. You can also grab that three-egg plate combo. You're getting some last-minute shopping done, getting your morning started. Get that three-egg plate combo featuring Gold Peak Coffee and fresh cracked eggs. And then throughout the day, whether you just need a pick-me-up or you need a meal, $2 square meal, $3 square meal, $4 square meal, all there at the Oxford Crystal. And of course, there's the 12 crystal combo. Maybe you got out of the shopping. You're spending your last weekend before Christmas watching bowl games, watching the NFL as they head down the stretch drive. Whatever it may be, you can get take care of it at the Oxford Crystal. 12 crystals, 2 medium fries, 2 medium drinks. Highway 6 West in Oxford. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle. He takes the hassle and just all the haggling out of the everyday car buying experience. I've done it. You should do it. Give him a call, get the quote, and then kind of once you get the quote, the rest is kind of up to you. You decide how complicated you want to make it. You can get that quote and shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford make it easy, get a great deal, great service, all of those things, everything you could want. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy, and he'll take care of you at Clark Ford. And at the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Beer Garden, and you'll save $500 off your bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory. We're also coming to you from LB's Meat Market. Listen, if you're making your call, getting your beef tenderloin, your standing rib roast, whatever it may be, get in touch with Greg Jones, 662-259-2999, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, right across from Kroger. Make your order now. He's closing on Sunday evening. Won't be open on Christmas Eve. So get it done. Actually, Saturday evening. Won't be done. Won't be open Sunday or Monday, the 23rd or the 24th. So you want to get in touch with him now. 662-259-2999. All the fresh cuts that you could want there at LB's. Greg will take terrific care of you. It's check them out on Facebook, LB's Meat Market. They've got fresh seafood from the Gulf, pork, chicken, sausages. the jalapeno poppers, asparagus. It's all fantastic. I had a fantastic ribeye the other day. I've already ordered my beef tenderloin. So if you're getting yours, you need to get on that and do that now. Make that call. You'll be glad you did. This podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage. It's located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All of the underwriting and the processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's also the leader in the condo financing market in Oxford. So ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float-down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. It's JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at CommunityMTG.com. Also brought to you by Strategic Partners and Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency that works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different than other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, the production, the editing is all done solely by their staff and crafted uniquely for their clients. And lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, so give them a call, see just how great they are. Get in touch with Austin at austin@strategicpartnersmedia.com. Now to our interview with Chris Dortch of College Basketball Blue Ribbon Yearbook. All right, Chris, I really appreciate the time. I know that you were in Oxford over the weekend for Ole Miss and Chattanooga for a number of reasons. We'll get to some of those reasons in a minute. I kind of wanted to start by just getting your initial impressions of this Ole Miss basketball team. I know you've known Kermit Davis a long time. Kind of what you think of this particular team, maybe your impressions on just how much of a stamp he's put on it so far.
Well, I used this word. It was kind of funny. I was talking to his assistants before the game, and I used the word unrelenting, and they got a kick out of that. They thought that was funny, but he's unrelenting. If you're going to play for Kermit Davis, you are going to get strongly encouraged to guard and rebound, take good shots, and be a good teammate. And if you're not, you're going to hear it in no uncertain terms that you've messed up. And you can see the level of energy that's being expended. I think it shows up mainly in defense and rebounding. But, you know, I sat down with him the day after the game, and you know, we're at this place. I'm sure you've been there, Big Bad Breakfast.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
it. That place
yeah.
is awesome. But anyway, he was taking the salt shakers and the syrup jar, and he was showing me what he calls his 13 defense. It's a 1-3-1. And he told me as he's gotten older, you know, just talking to guys like Rick Barnes and Coach Davis, as they get older, they're not set in their ways. They want to try new things and, you know, operate in space and run and play some gambling kind of trapping defenses. And you know, Kermit's an example of that with that 1-3-1 of his, and I think that's going to make Ole Miss unique, and I think he's got the personnel to trap. He's got some kids hurt, some freshmen I think that would have played, could still play. They're not real deep right now, and you know, they're not super skilled defensively in the post. So that's the only weakness that they have, depth and then that lack of, you know, I think a kind of a menace in the post. But it is what it is. You know, they're 8-2 as we speak, and I thought a layperson might not appreciate this as much as a basketball nerd like me, but that win in Illinois State was big. We picked Illinois State to win the Valley, even over Loyola Chicago, which had gone to the Final Four, different team, but still. So I think he's right where he wants him right now, and you know, I think that he feels like at home at least he's got a chance to probably beat just about anybody that comes in there. So
yeah,
they're a confident bunch, and I think he's got him where he wants him.
I was going to get to the kind of the league play in a minute, so I'll hit the pause button there. Well, no, I'll stay there. I'll stay there, in fact, because I know some listeners want to get right to that, and then I want to get to, but I do want to get to your story in a minute. You've seen the league a lot. It's a really good league. Auburn's great. Tennessee's maybe even better than Auburn. Mississippi State's very good. There's a lot of really good teams in the league. From what you've seen of Ole Miss, look, their guard play's good. Their post play is sketchy. Is there enough there for this to be a team that has a chance late February, early March to be in the mix on a bubble?
Well, I look at it this way. You know, he's already got 8 wins. You know, he's probably going to bag another one in Nashville against his old Middle Tennessee team. They got gutted after he left. And, you know, I think they're more than good enough to have a chance to finish above 500 in the league. So if you do that, you're in the NIT for sure. And, you know, who knows what could happen. Kermit's teams play well in postseason. That's a fact. You know, they huge upset against Michigan State when they were a 15 seed, and next year played Minnesota. They knew what was coming. They got beat anyway. So, you know, he coaches to have his teams ready for the postseason. So I think they've got a shot. I think they did a good job to salvage their recruiting class. I think they did a good job to keep those guards in school and convince them that he had a system that would play to their strengths. And so, yeah, I mean, I could see them winning 9 more games or 10, and they do that, they're in the postseason.
Yeah, you win enough in this league, and almost by default, all your numbers, all your metrics are going to be so strong that you're going to get in the field, because it's going to be
that way now.
Yeah, it was that way last year, and I think it's going to be that way this year.
It will. There's been a couple of teams that maybe have underperformed relative to their preseason expectations, but, you know, LSU, they're very young but super talented. I think they'll continue to get better. South Carolina has struggled a little bit. Georgia's, you know, trying to learn a new offense under Tom Crean, but I mean, it's a tough place to play now. I think that I was talking to Coach Davis about this, or actually one of his assistants who had come from junior college, his Dobo, and he didn't know the story, but for the longest time, and you know this, the SEC acted like they really didn't care that much about basketball. You know, they didn't have a dedicated associate commissioner, and I don't think they really went out of their way to publicize it. And now they realize it's a big deal, and we're good at literally every other sport in this league. We should be good in men's basketball. And, you know, they've had some mandates for scheduling, which is going to pay off. You know, Kermit going up there and winning at Illinois State, you know, that doesn't impress the common fan right now, and it may not look that big, but come March, that's going to be a win that'll be looked on favorably by those who decide who gets in postseason.
Ole Miss opens at Vanderbilt January 5th. It's the opener. Vanderbilt, not the team that we all thought they'd be because of the injury to that really talented point guard. You always hate to say that a game on the road at a place like Vandy is a must win, but given Ole Miss's start, they got Auburn at home, at Mississippi State right after that. It's close to a must win. Is that a winnable game?
It is. You know, Darius Garland is the kid you were talking about.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. That guy was electric. You know, one of those rare guys that makes people around him better, but yet he could still get his. That's a big loss. I think they've begun the process of adjusting without him. They're still plenty good. They've got a kid named Simi Chatu. He's a 6'9", 245-pound guy that can bring it up the floor and dunk it, shoot threes. And they've got a little more firepower than Bryce Drew has had the first 2 years. So it's a winnable game, but it won't be easily won, I'll tell you that.
Let's talk about your story. You were in Oxford on Sunday. I know you have a lot of ties to Chattanooga, obviously, and Oxford's a fun place to visit. And you and Kermit go way back, and you had breakfast on Monday morning. All of that.
Right.
That being said, there was more to your trip to Oxford than that. It was sort of a trip that was 30 some odd years in the making, right?
It was. I don't know why I decided to do it now. It could have been any anniversary year, but in 1984, I was involved in a plane crash with East Tennessee State's basketball team. And, you know, that was kind of my worst fear realized when Evansville's plane crashed with their basketball team and killed everybody, including a sports writer. I remember reading about it. I was in college, and I said, man, I hope that never happens to me. You know, I want to cover college basketball for a living. And, you know, one day we were traveling on a charter plane with East Tennessee State. They had just played UAB, and we were headed to Oxford on December 16th, 1984. And the plane crashed, burnt to a crisp. By the grace of God, you know, nobody got killed. It was a miracle, really. And it had a profound effect on me. It's why I teach now. I just felt like I needed to make, you know, I was a good person before, I'd like to think, but I felt like I just really needed to take advantage of that second opportunity I was given. And whenever a friend of mine or anybody needs anything from me, I try to be there, you know, my kids, and that's why I teach. And so this day, Kermit had been wanting me to come, and I'd been wanting to see the pavilion. And I looked on the calendar, and I saw December 16th. And that was 34 years to the day that our trip to Oxford got aborted in the worst way possible. And I just wanted to make that trip. And I think my wife kind of thought I'd gone Looney Tunes. And I'll be honest with you, in the back of my mind, I wondered about it. Because there was a whole long story about that plane crash and two others that happened before it and after it, and it almost seemed like, I know this kind of sounds weird, like some kind of cheap horror movie, but it almost seemed like it was stalking us there for a while, and I don't know, I just wanted to come back and make that trip to Oxford on December 16th, so I did, and you know, other than my rearview mirror on the rented car broke off, but if that's the worst thing that's going to happen, I made the trip. And you know, Oxford's a great place. It's one of my favorite towns in America, and it was just a great trip. And you know, I beat that December 16th jinx. I beat the heck out of it.
You know, I could tell when I saw you were deep in your thoughts, and when I heard the story, I was like, yeah, I would have been too. I mean, that every December 16th has to, That never passes without you thinking about it, I would guess, right?
You know, honestly, there have been some years where I haven't thought about it. But when anniversary years come up, 10, 15, 20, a lot of my fellow survivors, some have passed on. you know, through natural causes, but most are still around, and we kind of keep in touch. It was a weird deal. I was at the Final Four in Atlanta a few years ago in this super crowded mall, and somebody yelled out, Chris. And it was a guy on the plane. I'm ashamed to admit I would have never recognized him, but somehow he recognized me, and he and I drug off one of his teammates who had hurt his knee. I had escaped the plane and had run to safety, and I got to feeling kind of guilty that I'd only thought about myself. So I looked back, and this player was dragging off his teammate and struggling. And, you know, by that time the plane was on fire, and I didn't know if it was going to blow up. So I ran back there, and I put the injured player's arm around my shoulder, and Albert Sams was the kid, had the other arm around his shoulder, and we drug him out of there. His feet didn't even touch the ground, man. We skedaddled, and so it's weird. We keep in touch, and sometimes our paths cross.
How the hell did you guys survive it? I mean, thank God you did, but usually when those planes go down, nobody makes it. What happened to let you guys make it? Because I've seen the picture of the plane. It was basically an inferno. I mean, it wasn't like it was a low-impact crash. I mean, there was a lot that happened there. How did you make it?
Well, I guess God kind of likes me. I think extremely good fortune. I talked to the National Transportation Safety Board. Those guys were on the scene immediately and got to talking to them, and they said 99 times out of 100, a spark will hit the fuel line and it just blows up. And we were just fortunate. I found out later, I wrote a series that was picked up on the Washington Post, LA Times news service. It was all, you know, seen all over the world. Me and one of the assistant coaches were the only two on board that didn't think we were going to die. I just felt like that we were going to be okay. And I'm just always eternally positive. I'm just chemically incapable of getting down for too long. And I was just trying to keep everybody's spirits up and keep everybody ready. I was screaming at some of the players, you know, be ready. When this thing lands, we're going to have to get off of it. And sure enough, we got lucky. There was a landing strip in Jasper. We had taken off from Birmingham, and the pilot was able to get it there, even though both engines had quit. One of them was on fire, and the other one stopped, and we kind of coasted in. And he hit the landing strip, and one of the wheels had caught fire. I'll never forget the smell of burning rubber. Even today when I smell it, it kind of freaks me out.
I guess
but
so.
The plane hit the landing strip. Usually what kills people in these things is they're not fortunate. That, you know, a pilot will try to, this is how Ricky Nelson, one of my all-time favorite musicians, got killed. His plane, they tried to land on a highway, and it didn't make it, and they died of smoke inhalation. But our guy, we had an airstrip in Jasper, and it hit, and they did 2.5 revolutions, and it smacked into the turf, and the whole front of the plane was smashed in. And I was sitting next to an emergency exit that had duct tape on it, and everybody was bypassing it, trying to get out the front. And I said, man, we can't go out the front. We're going to burn up alive in here. So, your adrenaline's pumping then. And the door wouldn't open, so I kicked it open. And I started throwing guys out. And, we just got lucky. The thing didn't blow up. We had the chance to run, and you know, I was yelling at people to be ready, and I just, thank God I had some presence of mind. You know, I'm the kind of guy that'll freak out in a traffic jam, you know, get all mad and everything. But in a plane crash, you know, thank God, I was pretty mellow. I just never gave in to the fact that we were gone, and we were blessed. That's all I can say.
That team ended up making the trip to Oxford later that year. Is that right? I mean, they somehow got there and made up the game.
The coach had gotten fired, and they let him work out the season. Plane crash was part of the reason he got fired. They wanted him to take a regular airline, and he didn't want to do it because he'd come from Texas, and he was an assistant for Abe Lemons, and they did things big, and he wanted to take some alums and some of the press and make a big junket out of it, and so he defied them, and we almost got killed because of it, and he had lost control of that team anyway. But ironically, they were able to reschedule the game in Oxford. They went down there and won, and that was pretty incredible. Suffice to say, I did not go down there the second time. I couldn't make that trip then, because still not a good flyer. That's the one thing that it took from me. 2 weeks before the crash, I was up in a little four-seater with my father-in-law over Cincinnati, which was insane because he didn't have that many hours, but I just wasn't afraid to fly at all. It was a profound, you go through your life and you meet certain people, you do certain things, that was definitely one of the biggest things in my life. Meeting Sonny Smith was another one. He was a young coach at ETSU, and I was on the school paper, and I was assigned to do a story from him, with him, about him, and he took me under his wing and kind of taught me all about basketball, and I wouldn't be talking to you today if it weren't for Sonny Smith. And he's 80-something years old, still doing Auburn games, and every time I see him, I thank him for the life I've led. And, you know, every time I think of that plane crash, I just thank God that I was allowed to survive, and I've tried to make the most of it and kind of make myself useful here and there.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. I have no idea what I would be like in that situation. I'd love to think that I was as calm and collected as you were that day, but I don't know. I think it's one of those things that you probably have to experience it to know how you would react. I mean, you can think you'd react a certain way, and you don't ever really know.
You just don't know. You would remember this in the early days. They had those fruit roll-ups for kids, and
yeah,
kids would choke on them. And my son, who was 2 or 3 at the time, had one caught in his throat, and my wife had to go in there and stab it with her fingernail to save him. He was choking to death. I was more afraid then than I was on that plane. That is still the most afraid I've ever been in my life. And so for whatever reason, on that particular day, I was given the strength I needed, you know. I always see the sunny side of life. I think that's something that you either do or you don't. For those who don't, because it's not their fault. Don't think they want to be that way. I just think it's the way you're wired. And I told everybody on that plane, I said, we're getting out of this. Be ready. And that day I was chill, but, you know, you catch me here, I get in traffic outside of Birmingham or something, I'll be mad as hell.
It's a great story. It's a fantastic story.
I won't be able to handle that, you know.
I appreciate you telling it. Last thing before we let you go, because I know you're a wealth of knowledge with the SEC and with college basketball in general. The knock on Ole Miss has always been you just can't get elite players there. You just can't get them there for a number of reasons, some that people can really talk about and some that people can't.
Right.
You saw facilities today. You've known Kermit a long time. I know you really can't – there's no way to predict all the other stuff. But in your opinion, can he recruit there well enough to have the kind of success that I know he believes he can have and wants to have?
I think he can, and that's relative. And you and I look at it differently than a fan might. A fan, and this is not a knock on fans, but they don't live it and sleep it and breathe it like we do. But they'll rely on star systems and coaches like Rick Barnes and Kermit Davis. They don't look at stars. They look at heart. They look at basketball IQ. They look at toughness. And if you bring that, they feel like they can teach you the rest. And I think they'll be able to get players. I think he surrounded himself with a good staff. I know Ronnie Hamilton and Wynn Case. They came with him from middle, and they're intensely loyal to him, and they know the kind of players that he wants. The new assistant that he hired from Arizona State, he's an international. Kermit said, you know, I didn't want somebody that knows Alabama and Mississippi. We got that covered. You know, I need people that can get kids from Canada and, you know, the Bahamas. And I think they're going to be able to get kids that can play the kind of ball he wants. And that can withstand. Now he's tough on him now.
Yeah.
He's tough on him. So he's going to be able to get kids that can handle that. And they're going to do it the right way. I know they've got the facilities. I saw them myself. And even as good as they are, they're still retooling. He told me they're going to do a few cosmetic things and change out their locker rooms a little and their locker facilities. And so they're going to have all that stuff. And he's got the staff. He is hard on his kids, but he loves them. And, you know, if you can get past getting cussed out, you know, you're going to be okay. And he's a good coach. I felt like that he deserved this opportunity. It wasn't a sexy hire for some. For me, it was a logical hire. Kermit knows Ole Miss basketball, even though he went to state. His dad is a coaching legend. He's paid his dues, and I think he's ready for this, even at his age. He's, what, 58, 59, and he's a testament for us all. Hey, don't ever give up trying to reach your dreams. I don't care how old you are. I teach that to my students. And, you know, I think he's found his ideal place. He'll retire there, and I think he'll do well.
Last thing, fill in the blank. In second week of March, the SEC has blank teams in the NCAA tournament.
I think they're going to get 7. I think they'll get 7. 8 might be a stretch this year, but you never know. Somebody could come alive. Joe Lunardi, my buddy Joey Brackets, he's got Ole Miss in his first 4 out right now.
Yeah.
It's way early, but, you know, Joe knows his stuff, and he sees their schedule, and, you know, their schedule, you know, people may not – look at it favorably. They may not, like I said earlier, appreciate that Illinois State win. That was a huge win. You know, you're going to a good mid-major way far from home and get out of there with a win. That's like gold. So
yeah, they've got a solid resume right now. They have no bad losses, a couple of nice wins.
Nope.
They're in good shape, but it's going to come down to what they can do in the league play.
That's all that it is. And you know, it's going to be up to the fans of Ole Miss. The fans of Ole Miss, that's one thing that people don't realize. The fan base is like a 14th player or a fourth full-time coach. Because they can, well, fifth, you already have four, they can influence how games are concluded. And so if that place is rocking, which it can, acoustically it's awesome, it's a great place. If that place gets filled, Ole Miss will win their share of games there, and when they do, they're going to keep building that resume, and Joey Brackets will tell you it's all about, yeah, they want to see who you play and where you played them, but you still got to win. Right. And that crowd is a key component of it.
Very last thing, the basketball gods come down and tell you, Chris Dortch, an SEC team is in the national title game on Monday night. That team would be who? What would be your guess?
I'm going to say right now Tennessee. I just think that Rick Scotting got them playing together. They're guarding efficiently. They didn't guard real efficiently in the second half of Memphis, but they still won. I think it's them. But, you know, Kentucky maybe, but Auburn maybe. But the best team, the deepest team, right now, to me, the one that could go that far is Tennessee.
Hey, it was great seeing you the other night. I really appreciate the time. Safe travels to your brother's house there in Huntsville, and look forward to visiting with you again soon.
All right, buddy. Enjoyed it.
Me too. Thanks, Chris. Have a great Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks. Same to you.
Big thanks to Chris for his time today. Hope everyone out there has safe travels. Merry Christmas to you. We will try to get a beer garden to you between Christmas and New Year's. Maybe talk some bowl games, the NFL regular season coming to an end. I've been promising an NBA beer garden for a little while. Still working on one. We'll get that to you. But have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy your family. Hope Santa Claus brings you everything that you're looking for. And I hope that you rejoin us on the other side of Christmas for another edition of The Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal. I'm Neil McCready. Merry Christmas. Take care.